meine sehr geehrten Damen und Herren, das, was wir hier machen, ist nicht One-Way Communications. Das heißt, es ist nicht nur so, dass Sie uns sich hier von uns Informationen abholen können, sondern wir erwarten oder freuen uns auch darauf, wenn Sie uns Fragen stellen. Konkret geht das am besten, wenn Sie mit uns über Twitter in Kontakt treten. Der Hashtag, für die, die sich damit auskennen, sozusagen die Twitterati, ist denkbar einfach, wie er sich für einen Big Day 2012 gehört. Er ist nämlich Big Day 2012. Wir freuen uns, wenn Sie uns Fragen stellen und werden versuchen, nach den Keynotes auch darauf einzugehen. Keynotes ist mein nächstes Stichwort. Ich möchte Sie nicht länger auf die Folter spannen.
Thank you very much, and good morning, everyone, and welcome to Big Day. It is my great pleasure to be able to present this keynote for you. And just before I begin, I want to say that my mouse is still alive. I don't know if you noticed, but the band played so hard that my mouse decided to dance off stage, but we managed to catch it. So the demo is still okay, hopefully. With that in mind, I would like to say, first of all, that my name is Rafał Lukawiecki, and I am not going to say almost anything about my company. Our company's name is Project Botticelli Limited, because you can find everything about it on the website, if you want to, where you can find the PowerPoints, as well as some videos, which are connected to the subject of this presentation. But there is one thing I want to say about my company. 7 years ago, at Project Botticelli, we decided to change the focus of the company towards the subject which is the main theme of this presentation, which is business intelligence. We have never regretted that decision. It was the best business decision we have made. And I hope that for many of you, whether you are IT professionals, developers, whether you run companies, whether you are Microsoft partners, vendors who sell software, independent developers, I hope that for all of you, the decision that we have made in some small way or bigger way will also be a very successful one. So let me tell you in this presentation why I think these technologies, including BI, but also some other technologies that I want to talk about, have the potential to help you transform your businesses. First of all, let me observe that the way things are today is already much better than it used to be. Even 10 years ago, our business colleagues thought of the IT organizations in their companies as a cost center. Cost center is a very polite way what they thought about us. Business people used to think of us as a cost bucket. I don't know if you know what that means, but bucket is a place where you normally throw money, it disappears, you have no idea why you are spending money, it just keeps on disappearing for a long time. Well, we've done a good job. For example, when I was presenting, I had a great pleasure of presenting in 2001 with Bill Gates in Paris, we were trying to change the mentality of the CIOs who came to the presentation from providing just something that's measured only as a cost into providing a valuable service that the business people could use. And we've achieved great success. We are seen as a supplier of service by business people, by our sponsors, by our bosses. But the world is changing. The world out there is the world of incredibly interconnected people who are using IT in ways we have never designed it for, but in ways we perhaps hoped it could be used one day. Interconnected people are very productive, but it goes further. Young generations out there are developing their own applications. When people need to do something, they get an app. They develop something in maybe Excel. You know, you probably have heard about Bring Your Own Device, BYOD, an idea that is changing a lot of businesses today, where people do most of their computing on devices they buy from their own pocket and they bring to the company. I have another version of BYOD for you for the near future. Bring Your Own Data Center is going to happen very soon. Employees will be hiring data centers for next to nothing when they want to, for example, do some analysis. Can you imagine that? A young person, maybe a 17, 18-year-old, working in a company, hiring out 10,000 computers to answer a question that helps him or her do their job better? That is the world where IT is providing not just a service, but it is providing a value which is directly measurable, measurable to the business, and hopefully making all of you more successful. That's the future that we are trying to reach into, and I want to help you get to that future. So to help you get to that future, let me share with you something you might be already familiar with. Most technologies that you use today tend to, well, help you run your business. Some technologies help you grow your business, and very few, the most exciting, very often technologies, can help you transform your business. Unfortunately, most of the money that we spend today on these technologies is money spent just on running. Running, for example, an email system. Running, for example, security, firewalls. Not so much of our budget goes, unfortunately, into growth or into transformational technologies. And I would like you to change that, because I would like all of you also to have more fun with some of those transformational technologies. So to help you with that, I want to make one observation that will make it easier for us to talk about our technologies in terms of what they provide. Why? Because for the last 20 years, we learned to talk about cost as if it was the only way to talk about IT. But that's not necessarily the case. Let's talk about it in more detail. As you probably realize, when a technology is introduced, it gives you a competitive advantage that decreases over time. As more and more companies use a technology, it is just something everybody has to do to run their business. Think about email. Does email make you more competitive today? Probably not. Did email make you competitive 20 years ago? Yes. Or think about a mobile telephone. If you had a mobile telephone 20 years ago, you were somebody. If you don't have a mobile phone today, you are somebody. If you think about that, unfortunately, almost all of our technologies are destined to be those run-oriented technologies in the future, when, unfortunately, they don't provide much of a competitive advantage. We just have to have them. So I want you to focus today more on the ones which are at the beginning of this curve and in the middle of this curve. But to make it easier to understand, especially when we talk about money, businesses, we need to think about metrics. How do we talk about IT in a language that understands this difference between those stages of the life cycle? As I said, we used to talk just about cost. But cost really is only measurable for those run-oriented technologies. We know exactly how much email systems cost. Great. So we can reduce the cost of ownership. Very good. Everybody's happy about that. But you cannot measure the total cost of ownership of a bleeding-edge new technology that is just being introduced now because nobody is using it yet. It's a mistake to try to think about a reduced total cost of ownership of a brand new innovation. Something else is easier to do. Measuring how fast we can deliver this into our business, to our customers, in other words, the time to market. Whilst for technologies in the middle of this evolutionary cycle, those technologies are best measured in terms of the return on investment they provide. For example, being able to do better decision making on better analytics has a measurable return on investment, not just a measurable cost. And I want you to think about that, because that will help you bridge the gap between the IT of the beginning of the 21st century and the IT of the next decade of the 21st century, where the world around us is changing to this interconnected world, where many of you will have many opportunities to transform your businesses. And that starts today. And I want to talk about those technologies in my presentation, and I even want to give you a demo of one or two of those technologies. But first of all, let me acknowledge that when it comes to running your business, we're doing a very good job. And there is not much I want to say here. In terms of running it, we have reduced costs tremendously. If you look, for example, at this industry well-accepted metric of the transactional performance cost, over the last 30 years, we reduced it 30 times. Over the last 20 years, we reduced it almost 200 times. Over the last 30 years, we reduced it more than 2,000 times. And it will get cheaper because of the cloud, because of virtualization, because of appliances. All of this is good, good news. So let's not talk about running. Let's talk about growing your business and then about transforming your business with IT or using transformational IT for your business. Grow, grow. Well, growth will happen where growth happens. Your data will explode in the next 10 years. IDC famously predicts that there will be a 44 times explosion of data everywhere out there in the next 10 years. But unfortunately, the professionals who can deal with this growth of data will not multiply as fast, only about 1.4 times. Well, this is not a surprise, because in the last 10 years of our civilization, most productivity gains in the Western world, in so-called developed countries, has been gained not by having more people do work, but by having people be more productive. If you look 20 years ago and 30 years ago at the national statistics of all the developed countries around the world, you will find that most productivity gains occurred because we had more people do more stuff. This is changing. About 7 years ago, the statistics moved into the opposite side. Most of the productivity now occurs because we are cleverer and we do more with less. We are able to do more with fewer hands to do work. And some of you may be thinking, sure, that doesn't apply, for example, in Asia. Perhaps this doesn't apply in China, in India, in Brazil. I've got news for you. I was presenting at the CIO summit in Thailand for the largest organizations from that region, including Japan, including Australia. And in every conversation I had with the CIOs from those companies, one thought was present. We are becoming more productive because we are cleverer and we do more with the information we have, not by having more hands to do the work. Worryingly, maybe for the Western world, they gain even more productivity in that part of the world by being more productive and cleverer than we do sometimes. So, if productivity gains are going to occur because we are going to be more productive, which technology can help you most with that? That's exactly where I come in with business intelligence. Business intelligence is many things to many people, but it makes you cleverer. It makes you do better decisions by providing the right information at the right time to the right person. And if you look at these statistics, this is good, but this is also bad. What's bad is that only 30% of people out there have meaningful access to information today. What's good is 70% more people can have meaningful access to information. The upside potential for all of you is huge. Today, there are between 500 million and 740 million users of Microsoft Office around the world. That's a lot of people who know how to use Excel. Microsoft talks about the future for 1 billion business intelligence professionals in the future. Whoa. How is that going to happen? Do you do your own email today? Sadly, we do. If you watch television, maybe TV programs, I don't know whether in Austria Mad Men is popular or not, but you will notice that in the history, we have those rooms 20, 30, 40 years ago filled with beautiful people typing emails for everybody in the company. How many of you have somebody type your email today? Well, if you are really somebody, maybe you do, but for all the normal people out there, sorry, we have to do it ourselves. But many of you have an analyst who helps you get answers. Or you know an analyst who helps you get answers. Newsflash, by the end of this decade, you will be your own analysts. Your children will be learning about pivot tables in kindergarten in Austria. Trust me, it's much easier to compare production of chocolate and beer using pivot tables than just paper and pen. So the future of intelligence for the next 1 billion users is starting pretty much today. And of course, you will be helping in that. And you know what? What's great about it is that while the market conditions change rapidly and businesses respond to those conditions, traditionally, we have not been so fast responding to these changes with regards to how we created great analytics and great BI. Developers in the room, I know we have many of you here. You know that it takes a month to create a report. Some of you may know that it used to take 4 months to create a cube for multidimensional analysis. Businesses want answers today, next week, in a month, not really. How are we going to change it? You already know it. Self-service. Just like bring your own device or bring your own data center in the future will enable anybody to do their own analytics, already today, people are doing their own analytics using simple, easy-to-use, intuitive tools. Some of you might be worried now about this issue of control. And you are quite right to think of that. Because when we empower everybody to do their own analysis in every company on the planet, some of the decisions will be wrong. Some of the data may be wrong. So we need to control it better. We need to know what is happening. But we must not stop the creativity of our employees, of our colleagues, of yourselves. Whilst this is making developers happy, we also have to make it happy for the IT professionals in the audience. We've had enough of silos, enough of complexity of the olden days when you were weaving spaghetti connectivity between systems that were never created to interoperate. I have good news for you. There is one transformative technology that I will talk about soon that will help you, but really it will help your children remove this world of that web of disconnectedness. Of course, it's happening because of the way we are connected on the internet, but it's reaching deep into the very fabric of your own software, and it's transforming your organization from within. That complexity is a thing of the past. Also, I want to point what American colleagues of mine call a low-hanging fruit. Growth will happen when relationships grow. Relationships are growing exponentially today because of social networks, because we are finding new ways to find each other. Each relationship is an opportunity to be better in your organization. I am an analyst. I spend time, for example, data mining data, looking for correlations, looking for meaning in data that belongs to my customers. How often I see two worlds which are disconnected, a world of great sales data where I can find some meaning, and here, untouched, the world of relationship management, which is perhaps running on a system
maybe even Microsoft's or non-Microsoft system with some good data in it. We don't connect those two. Nobody seems to be productively looking at data from those two different systems and bringing it together to turn events into insights and to make you into a more knowledgeable organization. And it's so easy. If a customer of you calls you and says, oh, I don't like this product, do you think that knowledge influences your future sales or not? Of course it does. How many times have you called someone, maybe a bank, maybe an insurance company, or maybe just a shop, and you felt like you are repeating the same story from the beginning? Like, I said this a million times to you, I am an IT person, you should know about my preferences. Those two worlds should be more interconnected, and it is a huge growth opportunity that some of you may start using and benefiting from right now. Okay, that was growth. How about transforming businesses with IT? Well, in the 20 minutes or so that I've got left in my presentation, I want to talk about two extremely transformative technologies. One, which you already heard about a lot, but maybe not the way I will talk about it, and the other one, which you heard at least the buzzword for, but maybe you haven't even thought what it means to you. So I want to focus on those two. But before I do that, let me make one point clear. Transformative means bleeding edge. Risky, dangerous, may not work for everybody. So if you are a business person in charge of an organization that is going to try transforming, you have to manage the risk of change that possibly may turn against you. If you don't risk, you never benefit. So, of course, you want to risk, but you have to contain this risk. And one of the key ways how we contain the risk is by being able to undo, change, refactor, flexibility, agility, in other words, is the key aspect of choosing a transformative technology that enables you to make risky moves and not regret them. If you are a software developer, you know, of course, about agility because you have been on the forefront of it and you've been talking to your business people, I want more agility all the time, because you know that with agility you can make a mistake and you can undo it, but you can risk it so you are faster and you are more productive. It's amazing that according to this McKinsey research, flexibility or agility is on the top of almost every business person in charge of IT worldwide. Making moves you will not regret because you can undo or change your decision is fundamentally important for any transformative technology. So, transformative technology number one, that no doubt you heard about for a while, is of course the cloud. The cloud, which as a service, self-service, metered service, shared service, scalable service, allows you to deliver the type of applications that you are used to delivering, but in a fundamentally different way, in a way in which your stack of solutions and services is represented as a combination of software implemented on top of an infrastructure, platform, or even this new application or software offered as a service, privately or publicly. Let me make one point clear. Infrastructure as a service might be transformative to some of you, but it's quickly becoming a growth and run-oriented technology today. So when I talk about cloud as a transformative technology, what I really need to focus on is the other two, platform as a service and application or software as a service. I like to think of cloud as being cloud for you, cloud for your children, and cloud for your children's children. The cloud for you today is infrastructure as a service. That's what we understand well and we do very well. For example, you can rent computational power out there easily and quite cheaply today. And sometimes some of you wish that you could as easily in your own data center provision 5 servers when you need them and then destroy them. And some of you want to, on your own private center, to be able to quickly build a big cluster and then destroy it for some computational purposes. Well, if you wanted that, all of that is what private cloud is about. It's about having that public cloud flexibility, measurability, scalability, but on your own, of course, data center. What about your children? What about your children's children? For them, it's really the platform as a service and the software as a service that are transformative. Platform as a service is how all of the future decade software will be built. Software built from your backend in your existing data center is becoming more modular, and it's reaching into the interconnected world where your employees are building line of business applications. They are composing software from different little bits they can find here, there, and somewhere else. And they find a little bit of functionality that they mash up themselves. Whoa, employees building software? That's platform as a service, but even more so, that is software as a service. That's the future. People who are creative enough to build an Excel spreadsheet today can mash up data from multiple data sources. The same people in the next few years will mash up an application. This is happening today. Look at Facebook. Look at almost any social network, how easy it is to build software from components. I want you all to realize that whilst this is for your children and your children's children, to some of you, this is now. This is transformational today. Business people in the audience, any financial directors in the audience, you also realize there is another aspect why cloud is so transformational. No capital required. Any garagist who has a beautiful idea to compete with the biggest people in the business 10 years ago couldn't do it because they needed a huge data center. And data center means capital investment. And capital, especially today, is not so easy to find. With the cloud, it's not a capital expenditure, it's an expense. You can write it off in your first year of your accounts. It disappears, it's cheap, easy to get, and it's scalable expense because you grow your expense in the cloud as your customers grow. So if any of you want to start something new tomorrow, if all of you want to build your own company and you want to build it and you need a data center with 10,000 computers, start with the cloud and you will have a data center for pennies, and as your customers grow, you will be spending more on it, but obviously you will be earning more from your customers, offsetting this expense. This enables the kind of companies that couldn't exist in the past. And since the future is about information, of course, it is hugely transformative. I'm so excited about that because I know that you and your children will be building businesses that we could never build in the past because of the cloud. And if you are the big boy or a big girl and you want to start doing cloud for somebody else, appliances are a great way to do today. The sponsor of the day, HP, in fact, has a number of appliances using which you could start building your cloud today, and I hope you will consider it if this is, of course, your use case. But there is another technology that's enormously transformative. A technology you have all heard about, and you are all wondering, is it for me? Yes? It is, if you want to transform. No, it's bleeding edge if you are not ready for it yet. Big data. Big data is data that is defined as data that is very large, volume, or, not and, or data that comes very fast to you, great velocity, or data which is very varied, very complicated because of its structures. As Gartner says, the 3 V's of big data. That's fine. That's okay, but to me, as a computer person, Of course, big data is not about volume, velocity, or variety, or any combination of it. It's about complexity. It's about our today's inability to prepare and to interpret it using traditional computational technologies. Big data is complex data, too complex for traditional ways with which we deal with it. For example, imagine that your company wants to know whether your main product was mentioned last week, more often, less often, or the same number of times as 2 weeks ago on the World Wide Web. Imagine if all of you could know exactly how many times your widget, if that's the name of your product, is being mentioned next to your competitor's product, as often, more often, or less often than 2 weeks ago. Who do you have to be today to do that? You have to be a very big boy or a very big girl. You need to be like Bing or Yahoo or Google or Facebook, right? Not anymore. What if I told you that all of you, with the big data technology, have this ability to do it every day, every night, or at least every week, and not for much money at all? How much would it cost? For example, New York Times famously, a short while ago, did analyze all of its past articles, and that newspaper has been in business for more than 100 years. They did this analysis overnight. They hired a lot of computers, a massive cluster. Do you know how much they paid for the computational cost for this cluster? $260. And I would like to say that's $259.99 too much. Because the cost of compute will become cheaper thanks to the cloud. When I started IT, I started in mainframes. I know I look quite young. Yes, thank you very much. But I started with ICL 1905 and a great operating system called George III. I also programmed IBM 360. I can have an argument with anybody who remembers the DD command at any point, including any developer who issues this command will be fired straight away. We had notices like that, special commands over there. Anyway. Or the supercomputer I programmed, CDC Cyber 72. Cool stuff. But you know, when I was young, because I started early, I had this dream of owning a supercomputer one day. Okay, I don't need a supercomputer today, but there is this idea that I wanted one. And I'm sure there are geeks and the geekettes in the audience who would like to have a supercomputer at home. So, you can have it today with the cloud. The cloud is your supercomputer for pennies. And it's still too expensive. It will get cheaper. So if you have a big data problem today and you need a supercomputer to solve it, you can do it. Apache Hadoop technology is a technology that Microsoft is quite heavily investing in. And even, to everybody's surprise, Microsoft is developing parts of it in the open source approach. Like JavaScript for Hadoop Apache has been developed by Microsoft on GitHub using open source development techniques, and Microsoft gives it away to the community. I never thought I would see the day when Microsoft did that, but I'm very, very happy this is happening. But remember, big data is transformational today, but big data will not be big data forever. Big data today will be little data tomorrow. Just why, like we look at these two lovely people over there, you see they are coping very well with big data. There's a lot of big data on the floor. And by the way, when I started, I missed the era of ticker tape. I started with punch cards, 80-character, Holroyd-style punch cards. Not for long. That lasted only about a year. Then it was magnetic tape. But we had big data problems then, and we were able to solve it. But that complexity, of course, is laughable today. So don't wait too long, because what is big to you today will not be big tomorrow. Is big data something all of you will be doing in the future? Probably, but by that time, it will no longer be a transformative technology. It will be a technology for growth. And eventually, you'll have to do it because everybody does it. It will become the technology that we just run. So have some fun with it while you can. But there is the other aspect of big data. presenting the answers to our users. When we've got a lot of data, we have to become better at two things: visualizing it more effectively and in a simpler way. How can we show our users more data in a visually attractive way that they are able to comprehend is really what I would like to talk about right now. And ladies and gentlemen, if you think about information overload and what it means to you today, if you think that in today's world you have been overloaded with information, just wait for the future, because you haven't seen yet what is going to happen. Today is nothing compared to what will happen. So let me show you one technology which Microsoft is introducing this year, has just shipped it a few weeks ago. It's called PowerView, which is one of the simplest ways you can find, easiest to use ways you can find, to visualize a lot of information to our users, may I also say, in a fairly attractive way. May I have the switch, please? Thank you. Who am I? Who are we? Imagine for a minute we are all executives of a large oil and gas producing company, and you are about to have your meeting. What do you do during a meeting of oil and gas are us? Well, after some coffee, you'll talk about production numbers, and then, of course, we'll have lunch, and then we'll have dinner. That's how it's done, isn't it? Well, I can't be sure, but I watched educational videos. They are called Dallas, and that's exactly how I understand it's done. So, thank you. We've had our morning coffee. It's time to talk about the production numbers. And as you see, the production numbers look as they always do. And it's probably time to have another coffee in the presentation, right? Except right now, the big boss says, Johnson, go back to that slide. Oh, okay, big boss. Why? Those Gulf Coast numbers. Why are they there all the time? What do you mean, boss? Would you like me to click on this slide? Yes. So I clicked on this slide, and this slide suddenly has new ability. Boss, what do you mean? The Gulf Coast numbers, they've always been bad. As you see, if we go back in the history, those numbers are flat. Could you compare it, Johnson, to the production in Rockies, San Joaquin Valley, and the Gulf Coast? Of course, we could look at it from the beginning of the time. And my big boss, as you see, San Joaquin has a linear relationship between production values, but Gulf Coast is certainly not doing so well. And by the way, for the next 2 months, while you are doing this, you can tell your bosses you are working. What has just happened here? What is this amazing new technology Rafael has shown you? Well, let me show you. This amazing technology that I have just shown you is called Microsoft PowerPoint 2010. Huh? Yep, slides. Slides with a twist. This one slide was created in PowerPoint using PowerView. And I have only 2 minutes left in my presentation, so I'm going to take a challenge of building this report for you from scratch. Shall we try? Okay. I'm going to connect to a model, a data model that is currently sitting on my SharePoint server over here. And this model comes from my data. I clicked on the model, and the PowerView Designer opens up, and it allows me to have a look at the business units my company has, and to that, I'm going to add some data. I'm going to have a look at their production numbers, such as the production sum and the number of production days, and I will turn it into this exciting scatter plot. However, at this point, the scatter plot is very boring because, as you see, it just has very small bubbles. So I'm going to show the variance numbers to make the bubbles more attractive. But most importantly, I will animate it by adding to the play axis the timeline, which is the years for which I have the production numbers, at which point everything is working straight away, and the only thing I need to do to be able to share it with my colleagues is to save it, including this fabulous option, Save to PowerPoint, Export to PowerPoint. May I have the switch, please? You are a very gracious audience, but I hope you realize that this technology is incredibly simple and incredibly powerful. And one of the coolest things you can do with PowerView today is to be able to take this technology and make your colleagues and make your bosses very, very happy, very satisfied by letting them be more productive with the data they've got. And this is just the beginning of the things we can do. This is just the beginning because I have only shown you a glimpse of some of the technologies that Microsoft is introducing this year. We have just talked about the visualizations. We just talked about analytics, but there is a huge and very powerful server platform behind it. There will be Windows devices and mobile devices, any mobile devices out there that will be able to present this information. So I hope all of you will look at this at least to get a little bit inspired about the things that this next year and the next 5 years have to offer in order to help you transform your businesses with cleverer information technology. And may I say also, with IT that is hopefully also more exciting, more visually attractive, more fun for all of us. And with that thought in mind, I would like to invite you to enjoy the remainder of the conference, and I will follow any questions you ask on Twitter in case you have them. Feel free to Twitter me questions. I'll be answering them all day. Other than that, good luck with IT, and see you again. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rafael. Thanks a lot. I think you draw a very decent picture on how IT is transforming. Ladies and Gentlemen, meine sehr geehrten Damen und Herren, ich hoffe, das war jetzt der richtige, rockige Start in den Tag. Wir verkürzen die Pause. Ich möchte Sie noch darauf hinweisen, es geht um 10.30 Uhr in den drei verschiedenen Tracks weiter. Ich hoffe, wir sehen uns auch hier. Ich wünsche Ihnen einen schönen Tag. Dankeschön, bis hierher.
Schöne Pause. Walk this way and talk this way. Whoa.